Okay, venerable brothers, Dhamma friends. Actually, we are going to start the Dhamma discussion, English Dhamma discussion. So, till Bhante Dhammajiva returns on Thursdays, we are conducting this session. And once he returns, we'll be shifting it to Tuesday morning. Now, we were discussing several suttas in Samyutta Nikaya, connected discourses of the Buddha. And we were going one after the other. And now we have come to the sutta called Macchariya Sutta. It's also available in the Satullabhakayika Vagga. So we are the group of deities who are belong to a particular group, a kind of a clan called Satullabhakayika. And so this sutta is called Macchariya Sutta. And how we do this session is like I read the Pali verses and the Pali text. And then Venerable Dhamma Alankara will read the Sinhala translation and Venerable Dhammosada will read the English translation from Bhikkhu Bodhi. And then we'll go in for a open discussion. So this is how we typically do this session. So I'll start with the Pali text. Ekaṁ samayam bhagavā sāvatthiyaṁ viharati. Jetavane anātha pindikassa arāme. Atako sambhaulla satullapa kāyika devatāyo. අභික්ඛන්තාය රත්තිය අභික්ඛන්ත වන්නා කේවල කප්පං ජේතවනං ඕභාසෙත්වා යේන භගවා තේනුප සංකමින්සු උපසංකමිත්වා භගවන්තං අභිවාදෙත්වා ඒකමන්තං අට්ඨංසු ඒකමන්තං තිතාකෝ ඒකා දේවතා භගවතෝ සන්තිකේ ඉමං ගාතං අභාසි මච්චරෝච පමාදෝච පමාදාච ඒවං දානං න දීයති පුඤ්ඤා මාඛංක මානේන දෙයං හෝති විජාන තාති
අවසරයි සමිනාස මච්චරි සූත්‍රය එක් කලෙක භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සවැත් නුවර සමීපෙහි ජේතවන නම් අනේපිටි සිටුගේ ආරම්භි වැඩවසන සේක එකල්හි මනා චවිවර්ණ ඇති බොහෝ වූ සතුල්ලප කායික දේවතාවෝ පෙරයම ඉක්ම ගිය කල මුළු දෙවුරම බබළුවා භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ වෙත එළඹියාහුය එළඹ භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ වැඳ එකත් පසක සිටියහ එකත් පසක සිටි එක් දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගය කීය මසුරුකමින්ද ප්‍රමාදයෙන්ද මෙසේ දන් නොදෙනු ලැබේ පින් කැමති දානඵල දන්නහු විසින් දිය යුතුයේ
This sutta is titled Stinginess. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Savatthi in Jeta's grove, Anathapindika's park. Then, when the night had advanced, a number of devatas belonging to the Satullapa host of stunning beauty, illuminating the entire Jeta's grove, approached the Blessed One. Having approached, they paid homage to the Blessed One and stood to one side. Then one devata, standing to one side, recited this verse in the presence of the Blessed One.
Yeah, read the verse as well.
And he said, "Through stinginess and negligence, a gift is not given. One who knows desiring merit should surely give a gift."
Can you repeat that again?
The deva said, "Through stinginess and negligence, a gift is not given. One who knows desiring merit should surely give a gift."
Give a gift. Okay. So we'll take the topic after a while. So then actually another devata, telling like this, Atako apara devata bhagavato santike ima gathayo abhasi. Yasseva bhito nadadati machari tado tade vad dato bhayam. Jigachacha pipasacha yassa bhayati machari tameva balang pusati asming loke parambhicha. Tasma vinaya machcherang dajjadanang mala bibu punyani paralokasming patitta honti pani nanti.
Avasarai Saminnasa. Igbiti andeviyek bhagyavatun vahanse samipehi me gatha kiya. Masuru udgalate me yamakatama biya uye dan nodeda nodena ohuta eyama biyave. Masuru pudgalate me yamakata biyaveda e badasayada pavasada e බාලයාම මෙලොවහිත් පරලොවහිත් පහන්නේ පහස්නේය. එහෙයින් මසුරු මල මැඩලන පුද්ගල තෙමේ මසුරුකම දුරුකොට දන් දෙන්නේය. පින් පරලෝහිද පින් පරලෝහිදී සතුන්ට පිහිට වේ.
2 verses.
Asai. Then another Devata recited these verses in the presence of the Blessed One. That which the miser fears when he does not give is the very danger that comes to the non-giver. The hunger and thirst that the miser fears afflict the fool in this world and in the next. Therefore, having removed stinginess, the conqueror of the stain should give a gift. Deeds of merit are the support for living beings when they arise in the other world.
Actually, there are a series of verses, so we'll read the whole sutta first, and I think we'll go to the next the discussion, common discussion, because the whole thing is based on the machari, the miserliness. So different deities, different devatas are giving their different opinions, different comments, and still we didn't come to the Buddha's comments. So let's proceed with the devatas' comments. Athako apara devata bhagavato santike ima gathayo abasi. Te matesu namiyanti adhanangva sahabhajam. Appasmin ye pavichanti esa dhammo sanantano. Appasemake pavichanti bahuneke nadichare. Appasma dakkina dinna sahasena samamita.
අවසරයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්ස. ඉක්බිති අන්දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගාථා කීය. යම් කෙනෙක් මග කැටුව යනුවනට වරහන් ඇතුලේ ලද දෙය බෙදා දෙන්නාක් වරහන් වහලා සෙයින් ස්වල්පයක් ඇති කල්ලිත් දෙද්ද ඔහු අදාන මරණයෙන් මළවුන් අතර නොමියෙත් මේ පැරණි දහමකි. ඇතැම්හු ස්වල්පයක් ඇති කල්ලිත් දෙත් ඇතැම්හු බොහෝ භෝගයෙන් සමන්වාගත වූවාහුද නොදෙත් මදදයින් දෙන ලද දක්ෂිණාව දහසක් වරහන් ඇතුළේ දහසකින් දෙන ලද ධන හා සමයයි ප්‍රමාණ කරන ලදී.
Then another Devata recited these verses in the presence of the Blessed One. They do not die among the dead, who, like fellow travelers on the road, provide, though they have but a little. This is an ancient principle. Some provide from the little they have, others who are affluent don't like to give. An offering given from what little one has is worth 1,000 times its value.
Then another deity telling like this. Athako apara devata bhagavato santike ima gathayo abasi. Duddadang dadamananang dukkarang kamma kubbatang. Asanto nanu kubbanti satang dhammo durannayo. Tasma satancha asatancha nana hoti ito gati. Asanto nirayan yanti santo sagga parayanati.
Avasarai Swaminsa. ඉක්බිති අන්දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේගේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගාථා කීය. අසත්පුරුෂයෝ වරහන් ඇතුළේ ස්වල්පයක් ඇති කල්ලි දීම වූ වරහන් අහලා දුෂ්කර දාණය දෙන දුෂ්කර සුචරිත ක්‍රියා කරන වරහන් ඇතුළේ සත්පුරුෂයන්ට අනුක්‍රියා නොකෙරෙත්. සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේ ධර්මය දූෂපූරය එහෙයිනි. එහෙයින් සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේත් අසත්පුරුෂයන්ගේත් මෙලොවින් පරලොව යෑම එකිනෙක වෙනස් වේ. අසත්පුරුෂයෝ නිරයටෙත් සත්පුරුෂයෝ ස්වර්ග පරායන වෙත්.
Then another Devata recited these verses in the presence of the Blessed One. The bad do not emulate the good, who give what is hard to give and do deeds hard to do. The Dhamma of the good is hard to follow. Therefore, their destination after death differs from the good and the bad. The bad go to hell, the good are bound for heaven.
And then one deity asking like this. So he wants to the comments of the Buddha. Athako apara devata bhagavantam etada vocha. Kassanuko bhagava subhasitanti. And then Buddha replies, Sabbasangvo subhasitam pariyaye. Apicha mamapi sunatha. Dhammang chare yopi samuchakang charang. ආරංච පෝසං දදමප්ප කස්මින් සතං සහස්සානං සහස්ස යාගිනං කලම්පි නාග්ඝන්ති තථා විදස්ස තේති.
ඉන්පිසි ඉක්පීති අන් දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේට මෙය කීය. භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්ස, කවරෙකු විසින් මැනවින් කියන ලදද? භගවත්තු, තොප සියල්ලන් විසින් කරුණු විසින් මැනවින් කියන ලදී. යලිදු මගේ වචනයද අසව්. යමෙක් උංචාවරියාවෙහි හැසිරෙන්නේ වරහන් ඇතුළේ කලවිටි ශුද්ධ කිරීම, පිදුරු පෙලීම් ආදී වශයෙන් දුක්සේ ජීවිකව පවත්වන්නේ වරහන් වහලා. අඹුදරුවනොත් පෝෂණය කරමින් ස්වල්පයක් ඇති කල්හි දෙමින් දහම්හි හැසිරෙන්නේද? සහස්ර යාග කළ ලක්ෂයක් දෙනෙකුන්ගේ ඒ යාග ක්‍රියාවෝ එබඳු දිලින්දාගේ වරහන් ඇතුළේ දාන ක්‍රියාවන් පිළිබඳ ශත භාගයකුත් නොඅගි.
Then another devata said to the Blessed One, "Which one, Blessed One, has spoken well? You have all spoken well in a way, but listen to me too. If one practices the Dhamma though getting on by gleaning, if while one supports one's wife, one gives from the little one has, then 100,000 offerings of those who sacrifice 1,000 are not worth even a fraction of the gift of one like him."
Okay, then another deity telling like this, Atako apara devata bhagavantan gathaya appaja ajjabhasi kenesa yanyo vipulo mahaggato samena dinnassa na aggameti katang satang sahassanang sahassa yaginam කලම්පි නාග්ගන්ති තථා විදස්ස තේති. අතකෝ භගවා තන් දේවතන් ගාථාය අජ්ජබාසි. දදන්ති හේකේ විසමේ නිවිට්ඨා චෙත්වා වදිත්වා අත සෝචයිත්වා සා දක්ඛිනා අස්සුමුඛා සදණ්ඩා සමේන දින්නස්ස න අග්ගමේති. ඒවං සතං සහස්සානං සහස්ස යාගිනං කලම්පි නාග්ගන්ති තථා විදස්ස තේති.
භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේට ගාථායෙන් කීය. මහත් වූ උදාර බවට පැමිණි මේ දාණය දැහැමින් සෙමින් දෙන ලද දානයේ වටිනාකමට කුමක් හේයින් නොපැමිණේද? සහස්ර යාග කළ ලක්ෂයක් දෙනෙකුන්ගේ ඒ දාන ක්‍රියාවෝ එබඳු දිලින්දාගේ දාන ක්‍රියා පිළිබඳ ශතභාගයකුත් කෙසේනම් නොඅගිද්ද? ඉක්බිති භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ ඒ දේවතාවාට ගාථායෙන් වදාළසේක. කෙනෙක් විෂම වූ වරහන් ඇතුළේ කාය වාන් මනක් කර්මෙහි පිහිටියාහු මෙරම තලා මරා යලි ශෝකී කරවා දෙත්මය. වරහන් ඇතුළේ කඳුළු වැකුණු මුහුණු ඇති කොට මෙරමාහට දඬුවම් කොට දුන්හෙයින් වරහන් වහලා අස්සුමුක නම් වූ සදන්න නම් වූ ඒ දක්ෂිණාව දැහැමින් සෙමින් දෙන ලද දානේ වටිනාකමට නොපැමිණේ. සහස්ර යාග කළ ලක්ෂයක් දෙනෙකුන්ගේ ඒ දාන ක්‍රියාවෝ එබඳු දිලින්දාගේ දාන ක්‍රියා පිළිබඳ ශතභාගයකුත් මෙසේ නොඅගිත්.
Then another devata addressed the blessed one in verse, "Why does their sacrifice, vast and grand, not share the value of the righteous one's gift? Why are 100,000 offerings of those who sacrifice 1,000 not worth even a fraction of the gift of one like him?" Then the Blessed One answered that devata in verse, "Since they give while settled in unrighteousness, having slain and killed, causing sorrow, their offering, tearful, fraught with violence, shares not the value of the righteous one's gift. That is why 100,000 offerings of those who sacrifice 1,000 are not worth even a fraction of the gift of one like him."
Okay, so basically we are talking today about the dana and basically about how one can overcome one's miserliness. And a group of deities, devatas, come to the Buddha, approach the Buddha, and then they are making various comments about how to overcome the macchariya, overcome the miserliness. So one is talking about even though sometimes people are having a lot, they are not capable of giving. And sometimes they are doing huge kind of sacrifices, maybe killing animals, maybe the cows, battles. So likewise, they do a huge kind of sacrifices and then do something. But then Buddha say, it is not even worth that kind of a, say, a poor person, while he is just taking care of somehow very, frugal way, takes care of his family. But he gives something that is more worthy than that huge sacrifice and then giving something to the others. Because that such sacrifice actually can cause a lot of harm to the people, a lot of harm to the animal, even though ultimately they give something to the poor. So likewise, so the macchariya is a kind of a defilement. Sometimes we are talking at different levels. So we all know as Buddhists, so dana, the offering, the giving is something that Buddha has praised. And dana katha, sila katha. Likewise, there's a kind of a ordered manner that Buddha also has preached the Dhamma. And dana is coming as the very first. So in Sri Lanka, actually, we see that many people are fond of giving and they are capable of giving. They are quite rich in giving. But certain other countries, they are not much interested in giving, but they may be interested in learning and all other practices, but not into the giving. But today this sutta is highlighting about the giving. Actually, I can remember once Bhante Dhammaji was telling, now when Bodhi went to US, so he actually had the kind of a experience while he was in Sri Lanka. He ordained in Sri Lanka and spent fair amount of time in Sri Lanka, and he lived in the Udavatta Kale and spent fair amount of time at the BPS. So he had the basic direct touch with our society, Sri Lankan society. And then he left to US. Now he is actually in New York. And when Bhante Dhammajiva went there, so the one comment he made was that the US citizens don't know much about the dana, even though they are rich and high in the technology. Still, there may be other interests about the Buddhism, but not rich in the dana, not rich in giving. But instead, the Sri Lankans, on the other hand, assuming that we in the third world country, it's still people are very capable of giving and they help, and particularly to the Sangha, they offer various things. So they have that faith faculty very much coming from the generations, and they are giving. They are fond of giving, actually. And here in Sri Lanka, there's a kind of a culture that when someone passed away, so at the seventh day time, so we have a kind of a dana, kind of almsgiving to various people. We invite the Sangha and then the relatives also, and then the giving is there. And then after 3 months passing away of that particular person, maybe mother, father, grandfather, grandmother, likewise, and again they offer another dana, almsgiving. And maybe most probably even after 1 year, they do the same thing. Sometimes people do it even yearly. Annually also they do the giving. So likewise, it has become kind of a habit of the Sri Lankan culture, Buddhist culture, where offering, giving, alms, particularly to the monks, has become a kind of a normal thing. And it's also not considered as a huge thing, because it's very much the norm. It has become very much kind of a norm of the society. Giving is such a easy thing for actually the Sri Lankans. But among them also, there are people who don't want to give and they only give very little, even though they have a lot. So such people are also there. It is not that whole society is capable of giving in a luxurious way. Rather, there are people who are still having some miserliness and they don't want to give. And on the other hand, now when we are talking about this sutta, these deities are giving various comments, and I think somewhat straightforward, different comments are there. So basically someone is not giving because he is afraid. If I give, I may lose. I only have a little, so how I can share it with another person? And I also have only a little, then how can I share it? How can I give it? So they have a kind of a fear. So that is a kind of resistance coming from internally to avoid, to preventing you from giving. So therefore, in kind of an internal battle is there now. So one side want to give, another side say, no, you will be in trouble if you give this. So don't give it, because you also want to survive. You also have to, live in a proper way, better way. So how are you going to give it? So it's a kind of inner conflict always arise. One side is proposing the giving part, another side is proposing not giving part. So who will win? So therefore, in certain suttas are there, Buddha directly pointing out this point, this particular fact, that the giving is like a battle. If one is giving, so he has won the battle, basically. So internally, the defilements in the mind is always trying to prevent it and giving enough reasons to why not to give it. But on the other hand, there are others kind of very positive, generous ideas in the mind. It is always promoting giving. So there's always a battle between wholesomeness and the unwholesomeness. And if we are able to see the wholesomeness has won the battle, then we are giving. If not, we become kind of miserly. We are not capable of giving. We keep things to ourselves and we become fairly selfish. So that is also a natural thing happening among the people. And the beautiful thing is now there are kind of poor people who are really eager to give. Actually, especially you can see when you are going in the village Vindapatha, I myself have that experience. When I am going on village Vindapatha, actually there are people who, the mansions are there, almost like really very good houses, and the whole thing is really, covered, and the gates are there. If we knock the gate, then probably a servant maybe open the gate. But maybe nothing to offer, and they don't want to even offer. But the poor people are there, and they are waiting till the monk is coming. They are waiting till the monk is coming, and they prepare the best thing what they have, and even without they eating, they want to offer. So this kind of a tendency is there. I don't know why it has happened. So I am not telling that there are some rich people who are also giving. There are enough rich people that they are fond of giving. They contribute in many different ways. So likewise, such people are also there. But there's a kind of a experience I have that the poor people are having kind of heartfelt ability to give, to share, and to particularly they have some faith. I don't know, because they are going through some kind of a suffering and they want to be free from suffering and expecting something in return they are giving. I don't know. But on the other hand, the rich people have become somewhat selfish and they have their own frame and own kind of walls, and no one is allowed to go in, and they are well kind of separated kind of from the society. They don't know what's happening, and even a monk comes, so they feel like a kind of a burden. They don't want to offer. So such cases are many. Such cases are available, we can see. So the kind of a kind of assumption is there. So why even people are having, they don't want to share. So they have enough. They may have a lot of money, a lot of other wealth, but they don't want to offer, they don't want to share. They want to keep them to themselves without sharing with the others. Now this is actually another area that Buddha talks in depth in the in the Sakkapanja Sutta. I can remember one time called Sakka. Now here a group of deities are there, the one type of devatas are there. The head of the devatas, the Sakka, two celestial realms, that the Thavatinsa, I think the Devulotani, two celestial realms, Chatur Maharajika Thavatinsa. So they are the two levels, two celestial realms, and the king of those two celestial realms, according to the Buddhist cosmology, is the Sakka. So he once approached the Buddha. He is telling a very interesting observation to the Buddha. He is saying, Bante, I have seen that the people are having some kind of a wish that they want to live peacefully without having any trouble, without having any arguments. And devatas also like that, celestial beings are also the same. They also want to live happily, helping others and quite in a peaceful way. But you can see everywhere conflicts, everywhere battles. Among the devatas also battles, arguments. And even in the among the humans, still there are battles. So why this is happening? It's kind of contradicting. And then Buddha mentioned issa macchariya as the cause. Issa macchariya. Issa is the kind of jealousy, envy, and the macchariya is the miserliness. So the point is, when some people are having, they don't want to share, so they have kind of a stinginess. They have this miserliness. On the other hand, when people don't have, they are now envy of the others who have. So this is how it is happening. It's a kind of a opposite way. The people who have don't want to give, don't want to share. They have the miserliness. On the other hand, the people don't have, and they are envy of the ones who are having. They are jealous of the ones who are having. Now there's a conflict. Now these two groups are feeling like kind of a rivalry among between these two groups. Now the kind of battle is going on, kind of a friction is going on, because the people are, enough people are there, enough rich people are there, but they don't want to share with the others. They have the miserliness, they are stingy. On the other hand, there are people who don't have, and they are now envious of the others who have, because they also want, but very limited resources and very limited wealth, they don't have. So they are envious of the others who are having it already. And they go for battle, they want to even by force acquire the others' possessions. And likewise, so continuously there are battles. Continuously these kind of issues are there. So this issa macchariya is the very much like the ground reason that Buddha points out in the Sakkapanya Sutta. So then he go to a very interesting philosophical side. Now we don't need to touch that part. And so issa and macchariya. Issa is the irsha, you know, that irsha, the envious and the jealousy. And the other side is the miserliness, that stinginess. So these two are very much like in the two sides of the society. In one group, don't have and they are envious with the group who are having. The people who are having don't want to share, they have the miserliness. So always the society is in a conflict. Always in a kind of a uneasy rivalry, because these two kind of defilements are always operating in the mind. Now, typically it is mentioned the envious, the enmity or this jealousy is removed during when one attains sotapanna. But it is coming in the commentary, it's not, we can't say guaranteed like that. And the miserliness, when is it abandoned? Loba? I think it happens only when one becomes an anagami. Because the miserliness comes under the raga, the loba side. So it is still having some kind of a desire till one becomes an unreturner level. So till that they have some desire for the panchakama. They have the some desire for this sensual pleasures. So they are unable to give it up. And therefore one has to become an unreturner, then only would be able to completely give up the whole thing. It is not that you are forcefully giving up, rather now you have no desire even. You don't need it. So likewise, we can take it to another level, how one would be able to overcome it completely. So how the enmity or this jealousy completely can be overcome, and on the other hand, how the miserliness can be overcome. So two sides are there. So everyone has these two defilements. Now typically, as a worldly being, so we all have that kind of a defilement. So we need to look at ourselves, how we are being operated or driven by these defilements, isn't it? So when someone is in need, and if we have something in abundant, are we able to share? Or are we want to keep it to myself? I don't want to share. Even when you have enough, but still if you don't want to share, so that means certain kind of a miserliness is operating, kind of a stinginess is operating. On the other hand, there are some instances that people don't have much, but they want to give it up, or even they want to share. And there are like stories, maybe a person is walking by the road and he lost his pocket, wallet, and there may be another person who is simply asking something to eat, and he has few coins, and when this person asking, can you help me? So this beggar giving something so that this person can go to his house, to his home and survive. But probably he asked from another person, a rich person, no, don't disturb me. So this is the kind of attitude sometimes people are doing, this kind of social surveys. So they are behaving like, okay, I need something, I need your help, are you going to help me? But many people don't come forward. They simply look out, they simply look back, they simply pass away, and they don't want to help. So they simply ignore the person who is asking, who is in need of help. So such kind of very kind of ignorant, very blunt indifference is there in sometimes in the people who are not sensitive to the others' needs. So others are in a real tragedy and they really want someone's help, not only the wealth from the money, maybe some taking care, some good words, some, you know, kind words, some kind of a relationship or a little bit of association, and just giving you an ear so that the other can just talk to you. So all these things are actually certain occasions. Not only that, we have to give the money. Sometimes we have to give our time, isn't it? So people always not asking the money. They want some companionship. They want your association. They want your attention sometimes. So on such occasion, are we able to give our time for another person? Very difficult sometimes. People are telling, okay, I'm busy, don't come to me. And I'm fully occupied. And you cut off the other person and simply ignore the other person, not knowing the other person's real need. And sometimes even children nowadays are in a kind of a bad situation that they don't get enough attention from their parents. Parents are really occupied. They have to do a lot and they have their own duties, and they ignore or they don't have time to spend with their children. So children are also in need of their attention, isn't it? Their love, their warmth, and their association, the parents' association is very much important. But unfortunately, parents are unable to give it. May not be because of the miserliness, but they don't have time. So likewise, we can find enough reasons how people are unable to share their time or share their wealth or whatever their even skill, isn't it? Now, say for example, when we are talking of the dana, so typically Buddha talks about three types, no? This amisa dana, abe dana, dhamma dana. So what we are doing right now is kind of a dhamma dana. And Buddha promotes it and he says, this is the ultimate, this is the best. So you are sharing the dhamma, you are sharing, teaching, you are discussing the dhamma. So that is the best you can give to another person. Because what you offer as material is only used for a very short period and ultimately it's worn out. But if you offer dhamma, so it will change the whole lifetime, change the complete life of a person. So he'll turn into a completely different side. Suppose that he was completely worried and he is completely bewildered and completely lost and nowhere to go and he is completely lost. On such occasion, if you are able to give the proper direction, now, in such case, you can see the Buddha's achievement. So he is arising in the world where the whole world is in darkness. So people are there who want to find the truth. People are there who have some kind of spiritual quest, but not having a proper answer and giving on wrong directions. And ultimately end up with hell realm even. Quite pathetic. Now, suppose someone is born and he has some eagerness towards the spirituality. But ultimately on the way, he stuck with the kind of wrong view. Say the whole world is eternal. He stuck with such an eternalist view. Probably can end up with the hell. Sometimes people say, okay, it's a complete annihilation. After the death, nothing is there. You annihilate. And you believe it strongly and you spread it to the others. And probably you end up with the hell. Who knows? So likewise, some strong wrong beliefs are there. And these spiritual people end up with those strong wrong beliefs. Now, while all these are there, now the Buddha is arising in the world. Now he is trying to teach the Dhamma. Okay, this is the path. These are all wrong views. As you know, in the Brahmajala Sutta, there are 62 wrong views are mentioned. Fully comprehensive 62 wrong views. So you can see how the world is completely tangled. And with that tanglement, now the Buddha coming and he is sharing the Dhamma. And he himself is liberated and there are others who has followed him and also liberated. Not only he, isn't it? Now, if he kept everything to himself, then the others won't get the help. But he generously teaches them and not expecting anything in return. Not expecting any materialistic gain that he shared in the Dhamma. And so the people who got it, who listened to him, who want to practice, now slowly, they also start freeing themselves. They also start feeling the capacity, feeling the benefits of the Dhamma. So likewise, the Buddha's way of offering Dhamma, teaching Dhamma is so sublime, so important. So without it, the whole world is continuously going through the darkness. So that's why sometimes in the Dhamma, sometimes Buddha has mentioned some monks or another learned people, they also don't want to share. There are certain people who know a lot, they have read a lot, they are well learned, but they don't want to share with the others. They don't want to teach, they don't want to share. And they even if they want to share, they keep some teacher's fist, you know, Guru Mutti. They keep something to themselves. They don't want to share this with the others. They keep something to themselves. Guru Mutti, teacher's fist. They don't want to share that. So that is still kind of a stinginess. So therefore, stinginess is fairly wide. It is not only that material things that we are talking, the stinginess. But even the Dhamma, if you are a learned monk, if you are a learned devotee, if you know something, if you have a fair amount of information with you, Dhamma knowledge with you, are you generously sharing it with the others? Or are you keeping it only to yourself? And you are publishing something and keeping the rights with you and you want to sell it in order to get something? Now all these are also coming under some fractions of the stinginess, isn't it? And then when compared to the other things like in the monk's life, few types of macharya are called. One is called the avasa macharya. Avasa macharya is where, say, assume that you have a kuti and say someone is coming at night and there are enough space in your kuti, but you don't want to share. So it is my private space. I am being disturbed. So don't come. You take care of yourself. So this is my kuti. I don't want to share. Or maybe you are leaving to somewhere for some time. You are keeping the kuti as it is, but not allowing it to be touched, not allowing it to be shared by another monk. So likewise, we might have that avasa macharya, what you call the avasa macharya. To your residence, to the monk, there is a residence, there is a kuti, there is a hut, but he doesn't want to share it with another person. Actually, he should know that this kuti also not that I built, or my parents or my relatives built, it is something offered to me by the devotees, isn't it? Because of their generosity. It's something common to the whole Sangha. I am temporarily living there. I may have to go to somewhere, then another monk may use it. So what I am using currently today is coming from another generation. The monk who first used it maybe already passed away. He has given it to me. He has taken care of the kuti and then passed it to me. Now I am using it. And when I am going somewhere, am I able to offer it to someone, asking someone to use it? So, or do I have kind of a stinginess towards the kuti? So therefore, this avasa machari is something in Dhamma talks attributed to the monks. Another side is called the kula machari, where the monks have their own devotees. Okay, that your faithful devotees are there. And those your faithful devotees, you don't want to share with other monks. So you have your own group, your inner circle, and with them that you are talking your own needs, and they offer you maybe all different requisites. And you, if some another monk is touching one of those devotees, those devotees, you feel really, you know, panic, or you frighten, and you feel very angry, because this is my devotee, this is my, you know, dayaka. Why should you talk to him? Why are you asking the help from him? So this is called the kula machariya. So sometimes you know that when monastery or another temple is going to establish another kind of a village, so what's the kind of friction coming from the existing temple? This because of the kula machariya. Because they feel little frightened because their devotees, their group of people, their support will be reduced, that because another monastery, another group is now coming to the village, and they also start propagating Dhamma, and they become more maybe attractive, and all the group, all the villagers will go and support to this new monastery. So we lose our part. So this kind of a clash is always there. So when it comes to the monk's life, so we need to be careful. So are we keeping the devotees onto ourselves? Only to me? Okay, they should support only me. They should never support another monk. So do we have this kind of a view, this kind of an attitude in us? So then it is the kula machariya. We need to know that. So people are there, they may come, they may help, depending on their faith, depending on their generosity, depending on their view. And if they want to change, no harm, you can go to another monk. So you are very much giving the opportunity to the people to be, and with some kind of flexibility, isn't it? So you can survive somehow. I mean, you don't need much to survive. You may need a robe, you may need some food and a place to stay. Everything else is very much like something additional, something extra. So expecting your devotees, your supporters only to you, support only to you, is something that the kula machariya can happen in one's mind. And probably it may only not common to the monk's life, it may be even coming to the lay life. So you have your family, you have your friends, and if your friends being tapped by another person, maybe your enemy tapping one of your friends and asking his help, might make you really unhappy, because he's my friend. How he's going to go and help another person? And on the other hand, in the family, for example, now say the husband is trying to help his parents, but the wife doesn't want to see that. Sometimes these conflicts happen. You know that the husband wants to help another child or another poor family or maybe his parents. But sometimes wife gives some friction, objections. Why are you sharing these things? We are also, you know, continuing our life with a lot of difficulties. Why are you going to give this much of money to them? So she starts asking. The same thing can happen from the husband also. When wife is generous and she want to offer something, the husband might also have a kind of a friction. So it happen both ways. If wife is so generous and she wants to help and give, probably if the husband is stingy, he gives the kind of friction. If the husband is so generous and want to give something to a temple or to another society or to parents or another needy person, if the wife is stingy, she put the friction. So there is always kind of conflict in the family situation also. When the husband and wife doesn't have the same kind of a generosity, So therefore, having equal generosity is a kind of blessing. So you know that in the there's a beautiful story coming in the Dhamma that a couple, elderly couple, come to the Buddha, Nakula Pita and Nakula Mata, right? So they come to the Buddha and say, Bante, we were living for a long time now together. This long time we didn't have any kind of friction between us. And my husband is also quite generous. And the other person is telling the same thing. Now first assume that the Nakula Pitu is talking to the Buddha. He's telling, my wife is so generous and so devoted to me and so loyal to me and so faithful. And likewise, he's talking really, in a more admiring way towards his wife. Then same wife come and tell the same thing about the Nakula Pitu to the Buddha. So these are very rare cases. And then Buddha say, so likewise, if you have equal faculties, so now the faith faculty is fairly equal between these two, wisdom faculty is fairly equal between these two, then there are no conflicts. Because what wife want to do, being approved by the husband and even supported by the husband. What husband wants to do, being approved and supported by the wife, there is no friction. But the opposite is typically common. They don't have the common or same type of amount of faith, same amount of generosity. And there are often conflicts between these two. Because one wants to give, the other one doesn't want to give. So likewise, stinginess is something spread out in the whole society. And what we heard today is a kind of a general thing. But we can spread it to different areas, different states of the society even. From the family to the temple to the monk's life. To many areas, and even as Buddha mentioned in the Sakkapanya Sutta, root cause for conflicts in the whole world, not only the human realm, even to the celestial realm, is the issa maccariya, envious, enmity, and the jealousy and the miserliness. So these are few words I want to share with you. Now I like to open the session for the discussion. Anything? So you should generously share your ideas.
Asrai Swaminhansa.
Yeah.
Do you have anything from that side, Swaminhansa?
Not yet. They are very stingy.
here I have Venerable Saddhati sir.
Ah, okay.
I will ask.
Okay.
Really, I have to respect my the former place, Nisarnavane, and also to the monk. Even though the Professor Swaminhansa is not there, I think Venerable Chandratana Swaminhansa is doing well. He is explaining everything in a meaningful way. Anybody can understand. But really, by Dhamma, he is getting the sutta from the Buddha's preach, and after that, he is applying it very nicely to analyze the present-day society, what is happening among people in the present context. So really, all these things what he mentioned is the reality of the world or even among the monks. Because now regarding the monks, I have to say that there are some places, there is a very good dhanadayaka life. But it is known only to the chief incumbent or the chief priest. So he doesn't want to share it because he is fear of that some of his students may reach those dhanadayakas and they will get separate benefits from the people, and he may lose the benefits what he is getting at this moment from these dhanadayakas. So this is a normal thing. Another thing, when we talk about the social thing, that means what is happening in families. I have several experiences when we were in the university. We have discussed with our several friends, and sometimes the elder of the family has to give a lot of things to the family, even to the parents and their young brothers and sisters. But ultimately, now all the people they get well positions, And after that, that elderly person is really, he is ignored. A lot of people have discussed about that. And when it comes to that level, really that the elderly person who had the bad experience, he is getting disgusted, and thereafter he never want to share anything what he has with anybody. So I think Chandratan Thero will explain how we have to analyze this type of situation.
Yeah, thank you for that point as well. So as you know, in a family situation, the maybe elder brother, elder sister has to take care of the younger brothers, younger sisters. And as you said, probably he, even after the father passed away, probably he, if he's or the elder, so he very much starts looking after the family, helping the family. And as you said, there are some unfortunate situations. Ultimately, after having all his support, he'll be ignored. And this is not every time happening, but I mean, things are possible to happen like that. So sometimes we are asking things from the others and we get the enough support. The other person generously give us their help. But once we are well to do, we ignore. That's the another unfortunate situation. And we are able to get someone else's support. But when we are well to do, we are not doing our part, isn't it?
Thank you very much, Thero, because always we are learning from you and we are sharing various very valuable things. And still I feel that I am in Saranavani, I am living in Kegol.
Okay, we are, as Bhante Dhammaji used to say, we are one Dhamma family.
Yes, that is definitely yes. Because now I have to tell one thing, because you know, now this sort of knowledge and this sort of skills is not shared in any place in the country, I think. I also had the opportunity to join that group, and I was benefited to a greater extent. That is why I have the respect and love for the Sarana, and those Mahatheros live and share all the things with other people in Nisarana.
Yeah, we have another question coming from our side. Yeah, come, please come forward.
I need to know that even though we are offering, like, what about the receiving party? Like, does it matter? Like, what if I offered some guns to a terrorist party? Like, just think of it. Like, is it also done? Or like, what about the receiving party really?
Yeah, that's why. I mean, when we are talking of the dana, there are three sides. We typically Buddha mention how the contributes towards the results. So one thing is the receiver's side. So whether he is a kind of a respectful person, a moral person, he is ethical, his conduct is more moral, and he is a developed person, he is with some higher qualities. So depending on the receiver, also there is a fair contribution coming to the donor. So that is one thing. So the receiver's side is one area which has to be purified. So the point is, assume that you are giving to a beggar who has no ethics, no moral standards, and he is using it for something else, and he used that money to go and buy the liquor and all that. Those are common things, right? So they collect the money from various people, and ultimately they go to the liquor shop and they drink. So, and there may be another person who are so moral, and he maintains kind of a proper sealer, and to him that we offer. And there may be another person who are with some higher standards, like attainments, Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, Buddha, and all that. So therefore, the receiver is one important factor which decides what amount of merit power which would generate, the receiver's side. The other side is the donor's side, the giver's side. So if you are giving with some hate mind and with some lot of friction coming from you, and you don't want to give, but anyway you have to give it, forcefully you are giving it. So with not wholeheartedly. And again, and you yourself don't have much moral standards, you are not protecting sila and you ignore all that, and but still you are giving. But on the other hand, assume that you are generously giving, wholeheartedly giving, even though you have less, still you want to give, and you maintain fair good sila. then another story. So therefore, the giver's side is also another area that matters in the contribution, in the generation of the merit. So the giver has to have fairly purified, fairly uplifted, fairly moral and say developed, then the merit generated is very high. But if you have less standard and very less sealer, and then the generated merit power is very less. So that is one thing. And the other thing is, what you offer, is it generously, properly, righteously earned one? Say you are giving some money which you have earned by stealing. Say you by force taken some money from someone else, but now you generously give to some few other people who don't have. So the contributing whatever the material or whatever the wealth, what you are now sharing with the others, was it righteously earned material? So this is also matters. So there are three factors, therefore, when we are talking, when we are according to Dhamma, when we are describing of the dana, so three things have to be well purified: the donor's side, the receiver's side, and the material, the wealth or whatever the point, thing that we are sharing. So that also has to be righteously earned. So all these three things matter. So therefore, as you said, if we are offering to someone who don't have enough moral standards, don't have enough good qualities, then the merit power we acquire as a result of that thing has very less results. That matters.
I thought to add one thing about that answer, sir. I can remember Meghada Swaminas used to give the Dhamma sermon related these things, these same things. He always says, Chitta Sampatti, Ketta Sampatti, Prati Sampatti, and Gunatireka Sampatti. So, what you explained about it, it's in, we can divide to these four categories, Chitta Sampatti.
Chitta Sampatti.
Yeah, Chitta Sampatti, that means loving and kind.
Way.
Loving, yeah, kindful way. And the Prati Sampatti, what we earn with correct way, likewise, Sainas. And the Pratya and Ketta Sampatti and Gunatireka Sampatti, and those are really matters to
exactly. Exactly. Same thing. So the Ketta is the one who receives, isn't it? The receiver side. Chitta is coming to your side, where you are maintaining the good moral standard, wholeheartedly, generously are giving. The other thing is the, what's the other one? Gunatireka Sampatti is where you have the receiver and you may have some additional kind of, say, good qualities. Then it is extraordinary amount of merit power will be generated. So as you know, in the this Velama Sutta give a fair, comprehensive, orderly description about the merit what you are acquiring. Say Buddha talks about, say you can give to an animal and you still get something. To an animal, by the way. And then you give to a human. It's even that human is not maintaining moral standards, still it is more powerful even than given an animal. And then how about a person who is maintaining sila, good moral standard? That is more powerful. And then you give it to someone who I think sotapanna someone. Immediately go to the sotapanna. You go to a sotapanna and you give to a sotapanna, stream winner. It's more powerful. And you give to a sakadagami, more powerful. You give to an anagami, more powerful. You give to a arihat, more powerful. You give to a paccheka buddha, more powerful. You give to a samma sambuddha, more powerful. And you give to a samma sambuddha and the group of monks, more powerful. So likewise, if you are talking about the orderly kind of ascending order about how the merit power will be improved, increased, so this kind of order is mentioned in the Velama Sutta. So Buddha mentioned that he did a lot of sacrifices when he was a kind of a king. I mean, huge amount of dana, huge amount of alms were given. But unfortunately, he didn't get much because of that dana. Why? As a bodhisattva, he was giving. Because the receivers were completely shameless and they don't have enough merit power, or they don't have the enough moral standards. But he's telling on that time, when the Velama Sutta was mentioned to another Brahmin or someone, he's saying that, as we discuss even today's Sutta, that he's saying, if a person is giving a little thing to a very high standard person, attained person, really matters. It is not the amount, but the receiver's moral standard, his very high spiritual standards, really giving a lot of things to the donor, actually. Because sometimes we think when we give to something to another person, the receiver is the one really benefiting. So this is how typically in the materialistic point of view, Western economics point of view, this is how we think, no? So we give something to another person, so other person will be benefited. We are losing. So that's how we think. Like we are losing because it's from my pocket I am giving. Other person will be benefited, but I'll become poor if I am giving like this. But when it comes to the Buddhist standards, sometimes it is not the receiver more benefiting, but the giver is more benefiting. You see, I mean, if we see the big picture, it is not the receiver sometimes being more benefited, but the giver is being more benefited. Because the receiver is with a lot of high standard spiritual qualities, and even if you offer a very little thing to him, you get higher merits. So such cases are there now. Say, for example, the best example is where Arahant, Anagami, comes out of his what we call Nirodha Samapatti. So he comes out of his Nirodha Samapatti, and then he was there for 7 days and didn't eat anything, and now he is going on the alms round, and very poor person giving something to him. And typically it is mentioned the same day or same life, the benefits will be given in an abundant way. Almost like you go to another place and you see the everything is covered like in the gold or something like that. You know, extraordinary kind of situations are there explained in the Dhamma that within this life you will be extremely benefited, because the person who received you a little bit of alms is not a typical ordinary human being. He's an extraordinary person. So likewise, such cases are there. Now there are instances like, say for example, say Buddha is going at somewhere and there is very old low caste woman was there, and Buddha simply, without passing her, simply little delay while she was there, he just stand there. And then Venerable Ananda was following the Buddha, and he was seeing why Buddha is not continuing, and he understood, okay, this woman is so fragile now, almost going to die today, and almost empty, doesn't have any merit power. Definitely she'll be born in the hell realm. Now, Venerable Ananda, knowing that, sense why Buddha wants to delay there, stay there, he immediately go to this old woman and say, you know, this is the Buddha, and you are getting an extraordinary opportunity to pay respect to him, offer something to him. You can, if you have something or you offer to him, it will be really beneficial to you. And she offered something, or she simply come and pay respect wholeheartedly to the Buddha, and then Buddha go away. Same day she passed away and born in the heavenly realm. If not, she'll be definitely born to a hell realm. I remember that instance actually. Venerable Ananda and Buddha was there. I'll find it out, but I can't remember the sutta name. So that instance is often highlighted. So how Buddha, without simply ignoring her, how he just came there and just taken care a little bit of, spent few minutes there, but kind of giving some support to her. So likewise, instances are there that it is not the giver, the donor always benefiting. Rather, the receiver always benefiting. Rather, the donor is much benefiting because the receiver has a lot of merit power, a lot of wholesome power. lot of spiritual power, spiritual qualities. Therefore, the donor is much benefited. So we can't simply put it into the typical Western economic standards in that way. Those things are not known to the typical economics. So we have to see a different picture here. So as we discussed, there are few things matter when we are talking of the merit power, which is generated because of the dana. The receiver's qualities, the donor's qualities, how righteous your material, that what you are going to offer, how righteously you have earned that. And the gunatireka sampatti is what extraordinary qualities are attributed to either to you, to the donor, or to the receiver. Very interesting. Fairly deep areas are there. Even though we see this just giving something, Buddha has elaborated a very high standards, fair amount of information about this little thing even. Good, good.
Hasarai Swami Nuhansa.
Okay, and Hari.
There are a few from this side, Swami Nuhansa. Dr. Neelamani, you can unmute.
With great respect to you, Swami Mahansa.
Yeah.
A little to shed some thoughts on the mansions where the gates were not open to you. one reason can be
they have gone for their work, maybe.
That's one thing. That's the most. Maid can be from another faith who doesn't understand of giving. The other one is, the food may be in the all refrigerated food, not fresh food, and they don't want to offer anything what is not cooked on that day. So that may be a main reason in the mansions. Not cooking every day. With great respect to you.
Yeah, that's right. Understood. Because the poor people don't have refrigerators, so they can quickly give it away. But anyway, I'm not generalizing that as telling that all rich people are stingy and they don't want to share. It is not the thing that I want to highlight. But sometimes those situations are there that the poor people are open and their gates are always open and they don't have even gates. And so they easily notice the monks who are approaching, so they come and offer. But unfortunately, we have very high security standards and we have all our gates closed. Then no one can approach. It's quite unfortunate sometimes. We think that the being rich is very much like we find our own cell, isn't it? Rather than being open, rather than being connected with the others. Now we think, okay, we have to disconnect. We have to be completely separated, have our own frame, and not sharing anything with the others. So that's that's, I feel, going against the kind of the spiritual standards. If we are rich, still we are accessible, then I feel that is much better. Rather than we avoid any access. But anyway, I can understand there are some practical reasons now. If you are rich and always accessible, then others start disturbing you too much, asking too much. All these possibilities are also there. We have to look at different points as well.
Next, I will give the chance to Amar Singh. He is eagerly waiting to talk to you, Bante.
Yeah.
Yes, my name is Amar Singh. Bante.
Yes.
I have a little question about a situation where on the same table there are two children, they are twins, each is 5 years old. Now their mother has brought two sandwiches and given one to each of these children, okay. And then the dog comes and up to the table. Then one child gives half the sandwich to the dog. The other child chases the dog.
Yeah.
Now, so this is this situation. Can you comment on that kind of situation?
Probably you can ask another sandwich from the mother. So that's a completely different situation now. So, because you know that the dog also has to be fed, because that is also someone in the home that also has to be taken care of, but the children also has to be taken care of. But at the same time, as you said, so if one child has the capacity and kind of a willingness to share something with the dog, that indicates some good qualities in her or him. Because you know that sometimes from our childhood, so we are, as parents, people are trying to teach the good qualities. Because in the long run, I mean, if they don't have that good qualities, ultimately the parents will be punished. Parents are the ones ultimately going to suffer, because the good qualities are not rooted in the children's hearts. So from the childhood, therefore, parents are trying to teach the good qualities, not only the education, but the good human qualities have to be planted in the hearts of the children. So that is very, very important. So therefore, sometimes children have to wait till the mother offers something, so that patience has to be there. And once they get something, rather than immediately eating, probably they have to be grateful to the parents or the whoever who have made that food. So that kind of a little bit of gratitude has to be cultivated in the children's heart. And then, as you said, if another person is coming, are you ready to share a little with what you have? Only a little you may have, but are you ready to share with another person? So that's why sometimes Buddha has mentioned, and he is the one know the highest benefits of the dana than anyone else. So if you know like the Buddha, he say, if you know like him, you will never eat something without sharing. This is a very kind of a common statement mentioned by the Buddha, that he knows the benefits of sharing. He knows the benefits of giving, and this is abundant, that is huge. So if you know to the level that he know, you will never eat without sharing. So this kind of a statement is there. So always, therefore, Buddha admired the sharing without completely, selfishly consuming everything by yourself. So are you able to share something with the others? So therefore, in between these two children, if someone want to share something, that means she has more human qualities, more generosity. But the another child may be a little, bit of, can't say really selfish, maybe kind of being disturbed. But anyway, these children can be changed. So we don't need to think that they are hard and fast. So as parents, if you see this little kind of trait in the children, probably you can start to give some indication and take some action to develop the proper qualities in that person.
Thank you for your ideas.
Yeah.
Geshan, you can unmute.
Dhruvan Saranai Bante.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the discussion today, and especially the comments as well after the discussion. So I really like what Dr. Amara Singh just asked. One of the things I was thinking about, I have seen and I have observed this particular one. When two individuals, some children, I have seen this, there are some, they have the intuition or intuitive mind of giving, or the empathy of giving, but some, they don't have that. For those who don't, I think, need to cultivate it, I guess. That's something I thought of adding to that. Bante, one thing that you mentioned, it's when we have the opportunity to give, in our mind, we sort of think the benefits, and on the other side, the same kind of ideas are coming, why you should not give, why you should sort of protect. It's a constant battle that I have seen, what I have experienced in my life as well. One of the things what I have learned, and from the Dhamma itself, what I have heard and sort of learned as well, when you give, it is something from the very get-go. You have to create your mindset. You have to sort of have that to build the generosity. And as what you said, you know, like you have to earn righteously, and then sort of you have to sort of plan well how you are going to give, sort of visualize it. And those are certain things what I have done in my life just for the experience itself. And the joy that I get after the giving, it is tremendous joy that you feel inside in you, something that you cannot describe. But I think these are certain things. It didn't sort of happen overnight per se. This type of giving had to sort of come over the period of time. How you prepare things, something when I invite monks to our house as well, I always tell this to my wife and my kids, how to think, how to prepare food, and the way to prepare, and how to sort of dish it out, and how to sort of offer it. It's just as something that you give it just for the sake of, you're not doing this for the sake of doing. You have to think of that this is coming from, if it is the Sangha, it comes from Buddha, the Pasebudus, and the Arihat, Rahatan Vahanses, and the Maha Sangha. You offer, even to a monk, you think about you offering for the Buddha and his disciples, and for the Arihat. And with the mind, such sort of a joyful mind, and then to offer. So I think there was a question earlier. This is how the giver should give. That's how I have sort of cultivated this idea of giving, not to question the receiver, whether the receiver is ill, or because you don't know whether it's a good monk or a monk who always sort of practice the Dhamma well. But you think of, or how I think, this is Budurajanan Vahansegen Pavati Ganena Maha Sangha. So you give it to the Maha Sangha, and then you offer. I think one other aspect that I wanted to add here, Budurajanan Vahansegen, the Suluma, I can't remember the name.
Mahaprajapati.
Mahaprajapati wanted to, she created a robe through, by her hand, and then she goes and offered to Buddha, and Buddha basically refused to take three times, it seems. Maybe you can elaborate, and then the Venerable Ananda basically said, why don't you take this and sort of trying to settle that matter, but Budurajanan Vahanse at that time said, it seems, no, offer this to Maha Sangha, that is much more meritorious. And so have given that type of a talk as well.
Yeah, thank you.
So I really enjoy this talk today. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Actually, thanks for sharing these views. So we'll take the last point, if you say. Now, as you said, Mahaprajapati Gautami, the stepmother of the Buddha, so she wanted to offer a robe to the Buddha, and she tried to offer it, but as you said, Buddha refused. But when Ananda intervened, Buddha mentioned, okay, you offer it to the Sangha, that is more meritorious than even offer it to me. So in one sense, it is mentioned, we can see the Buddha's generosity, his highest qualities, rather than simply acquiring it to him. So he wanted to offer it to the Sangha, giving kind of an example, and again knowing that it is more beneficial. So as you said, if we are looking at the kind of a doubtful way about the receiver, we can never give. So if you are always trying to test, if you are always trying to verify whether the monk is a moral monk, a silavanta monk, whether he is maintaining good qualities, whether he is maintaining moral standards. So these are sometimes people are trying to inquire, but it makes you sometimes unhappy and the receiver not meeting your standards, and he is also not an arahant, and you are expecting an arahant. So these kinds of things are there. But as you said, if he is thinking the opposite way, I mean, I am offering this to the Mahasangha. So this monk is simply representing not as a person, but rather I am offering it to the Mahasangha. And that Mahasangha is coming from the Buddha's time, from Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Moggallana. So this is the lineage that now I am offering to. To them I am generously offering. So this is how the donor has to purify his sight. So if you are not purifying as a donor, if you are not purifying your sight, so there may be a loose to you. So therefore, thinking that, okay, I'm offering this to the Mahasangha, and they are with these kind of sublime qualities, which actually helps to uplift your mind. You become more generous, you become more faithful, you become more joyful, because ultimately this joy is also very matters. Because now even when it comes to the dhana, it is mentioned before the dhana also you have to have a proper mind, proper wholesome mind. When you are giving also you have to have the proper wholesome mind. And even after giving also you have to have the proper wholesome mind. It's sometimes called as the tunsita pahadava ganwa kiyanne. So we are using the term like tunsita pahadava ganwa. So your upper munchana pure munchana and upper. Pure means that before the offering you have to have a fairly wholesome mind. So you prepare yourself, you develop fair amount of faith, generosity, and you avoid any kind of intruding defilements. You are not allowing the defilements to pollute your mind. You are maintaining very good, very joyful standard in yourself, in the mind. So you are taking care of your mind before the offering. So that's why, as you said, you are teaching your children, this is how we need to think about the situation. You do your part, you work hard, don't just write a check and offer, just you yourself spend some time, contribute yourself. So you feel it then. So there is a fair amount of contribution coming from your side. Not it's not a petty writing of a check and giving it. Now you know that there are very interesting stories, like Venerable Saddhartis, the King Saddhartis. He wanted to offer a dana to the Sangha. So he is the brother of King Duddhakamanu. So easily he could give it to the audience, to the Sangha, without much trouble. So he basically is the king. He can order his treasury, his ministers, okay, this day the temple monks has to be given, this much of amount has to be given. He can easily do that. But he didn't do that way. What he did, so he has gone to a very far place and he worked under a farmer, and he himself involved in the farming, and he spent his sweat, and he himself participated like that. And then that earned money, that earned wealth is what now going to be offered. So you can see how faithful he is and how devoted he is. He doesn't want to simply give away by saying, okay, you just, he simply order the others and takes care of his matters. Rather, he himself has involved in the activity. He has committed to that. So that is before the thing. And offering side also, so you are not making any kind of mistakes and you are preparing properly. So it is not simply you throw away the thing. That's what called sakkachandanandeti. So sakkacha means that you prepare the things properly and you with lot of respect and with lot of proper, you arrange things in a proper way and you have a lot of respect added to the situation. So you do that it wholeheartedly. So all that actually matters. And after the offering also, you are not allowing others to disturb you, or you are not allowing others to criticize what you do. You are not, I mean, even they criticize, you are not changing your mind. You are not got into any defilements. You are protecting yourself. Okay, I'm quite happy. I'm joyful. I have earned this all thing righteously. I did all my part. And even during the offering side, time I maintain good moral standard, and I was so faithful, I was so generous, and I'm quite happy about how I did it. And so after the offering also, you maintain that joyful mind. So if we are able to maintain this kind of the before the offering, during the offering, and after the offering, then the merit power accumulated is so high. So when it comes to dana, so this information are mentioned in the various suttas. So therefore, you can see how deep that Buddha has gone in even to this generosity, dana. And as you know, it is one of the paramita, dana paramita.
Swami Nahan, sir.
Yeah.
One more hand. One more person.
Okay, maybe the last one.
Yes, Mahesha,
yeah.
You can unmute.
Thank you, Avasanai Swami Nahan, sir. I have to tell you that this topic is really relevant for me, because I was like, my mind was like debating about this for some time, but then I ignored it, thinking that it's not necessary to, you know, think about it that much. But since we discussed about this, I thought I will give the two sides that my mind was debating about. So one side is like giving, or the other side is the not giving. So the what happened after I actually started practicing meditation and like trying to follow the path, I looked at things differently. So I started... I was used to the practice of giving from my family background, but then I started looking at them in different way, and then I figure out, like, I give you a couple of examples to elaborate like how my mind was working. So one is when I go to Sri Lanka, when a beggar comes, when I'm coming out from the bank or from a shop. Beggars comes, one or two beggars comes, and, you know, asking for food or money. And I feel like, oh, you all are from business background. You all are business hinganno, I would say, beggars. Business beggars, that's what I heard. So, no, I'm not giving you. So I'm not giving. And the other thing, the other one, other example, now some people, when something happened in Sri Lanka, maybe a flood or this or that, in here they get into a group. And they organize like food fairs or, you know, food stings, and then collect money to take the money to the, give the money to Sri Lanka. Then I have seen and heard that, you know, they do things, collect money, but not sending everything to Sri Lanka. They keep some, or they do some other unwanted stuff with the, that money collected. So then I said, okay, we are encouraging some people to do bad things, collecting other people's money and not giving the whole thing to the beneficiaries. So then I'm not going to put my hand in there, because it's not right way of giving. So I don't involve with them. And again, when we go to Sri Lanka, we visit family. So I used to give away cash to families who I feel like they need. And then this particular family actually used to that. So every time when I go visit and then give. And then I realized that they are seeking for it, and they're demanding, like, you know, give me this much, give me that much. And then I was thinking, oh, come on, this is coming that way. And no, I'm not giving now. So I don't feel like giving them now. So the other thing with the temples, I quite like giving to temples when they construct things and do things. And I feel like, okay, the Dhamma is going to distribute through that channel to the more and more people. When the temple is beautiful, people come. Even they come and, you know, offer flowers and chat a little bit of Dhamma. And that actually helps people's minds. And then I give. But then I realize that the temple's making a one chaitya, and then they want to make a bigger chaitya, bigger than the other Buddhist group. And also then another one, another one, another one. And I feel like it's craving. This Buddha said like to do like that. And then I thought, no, their direction has been changed. And that's not the way that the Buddha taught us. So then I don't give. So those are examples that my mind like debating about not giving. Other side, I would say giving side, still I like actually to offer dana to monks, but in a very low key, not like, you know, crowding out and inviting everyone, you know, everyone I know, bring them, gather them, and, you know, invite a monk or two because we can't have lots sometimes. So and offer. Now I don't do that. So inviting crowd and giving, but I cook myself. I bring the stuff. I cook myself. I take time, concentrate on what the nutrition going in there, and then less oil, less sugar, things like that, and then offer it. I go personally with my immediate family members and offer it, take time, enjoy that moment, and then afterwards I clean everything myself and then very happy about it. So that's that I do. And then even the beggars, when I see like if they're really deserving, then I give. Relatives the same. So it goes on like that. So but then again, when I hear things, my husband actually forcing me, okay, give this, give to this, give to that. And then I say, no, if you want, you give, but I don't feel like. But the thing is in my family that I'm the one actually, you know, taking the step and, you know, okay, we are giving this much, that much. So decisions have been like taken and the process is involved with me. So then he give the responsibility to me. Okay, you give, you give. And then I feel like, no, I'm not giving. You give. But then he said, oh, you become very stingy now. And you're very different. Is that what the Dhamma made you? And then I was thinking, it's really that what makes. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to think about what he's saying. I just do what I feel like doing. So it's really, I think I need help. How are you looking at like how my behavior and the thinking pattern change for this giving thing? But at the same time, I'm very fond of, you know, collecting things from here for children, the books, the pens or whatever that children likes, stickers, magazines, and then box and boxes of them I take to Sri Lanka, and then I walk, I go, I drive, I walk searching for young kids who are in needs. But I don't do it in a, like a mass scale, you know, telling to organizations I'm donating. No, I don't want to do that big scale thing. But I like to meet people. Sometimes I stay near the schools where the, you know, young kids goes on the road. And then I take from my bag, I give them. And I like to see how they smile and how they're excited about what I give. And I give clothes like that to, I mean, children, women, and whoever in need. I'm so fond of doing it, actually. Crazily, I like doing it. That goes on in that way. So I actually looking forward for advice for my change of this giving pattern.
Be complicated, by the way. So by the way, and on the other hand, it's quite common and people are making offerings, and sometimes they are keep on asking, and there's a trend being built that they are always expecting something. So these things are quite common among the society, and people want to be generous, but the other receiving party become more and more expecting, asking, and it become a kind of a right later. So all these things are quite complications arising because of these things. But on the other hand, I mean, if we think too much, then we can never give. That's also there. So if you want to verify the qualities of the monk, the qualities of the temple, for what purpose they are going to use, and all that, if you are going deeper and deeper, more and more detail, there may be something that you can find which go against the giving part. You may have enough reasons, you can gather enough reasons not to give. But on the other hand, there is another side that you are improperly you are giving. There is a need and you improperly giving. You didn't have a huge plan and you didn't do a huge verification, but you're improperly giving, wholeheartedly giving. I think so. These are another areas that we can think. So if we are thinking too much, if we are exploring too much, investigating too much, and then we are giving, maybe one side may be correct that you can give to the proper person, a good person. That one side is there. You are taking care of the receiver's side. But on the other hand, if you are impromptly giving wholeheartedly, even though the receiver is not using it properly, but your side is quite pure, your side is quite uplifted, you didn't have any reservation, you didn't have any preconditioning, rather you are quite open at that moment. You felt, okay, this is the best thing I could do. Okay, you are doing it. So therefore we have to measure both sides. I can't give a hard and fast rule, but depending on the context, depending on the situation, we have to depend on our own qualities in a way. So we are mindful, we are quite aware of the situation, and immediately we find, okay, this is the thing to do, this is what I need to offer, this is what I have, and so I am offering it wholeheartedly without expecting anything in return. So therefore, it's kind of a little complicated. So we can't say it is so straightforward. A little bit complicated. But still, if you are doing wholeheartedly without expecting anything in return, and knowing that this is a good activity to do, and I'll be happy by doing it, go for it. No point of searching so many things and exploring so much of things, then you will never be able to give. Because somewhere you can find a fault. Somewhere there may be a little discrepancy. Somewhere there is a shortcoming. You will be discouraged to do. So you might find enough reasons not to give. Okay, I think that is enough for today. I think Mr. Patrick, or you also want to share something? So this may be the last comment then. From our side, we have a few moments.
So I have to repeat myself.
Yeah.
I'm Patrick. I'm coming from another culture, from Scandinavia. And, there's been a way of building society that based on totally another way. We have this welfare system, very institutionalized giving in a way, raising taxes and so on. We also have a lot of charity organizations that people are giving to. So I think it's less of this personal giving. I don't know if you could put this system into the context of Buddhism. Is it, obviously on a material level, it's doing quite a good thing for a lot of poor people, you know, raising the standards for everybody, and also making our countries in the Scandinavia able to contribute in catastrophes or all kinds of aid problems all over the world, quite a substantial lot of money.
Correct.
So that's a total other way of thinking that has historical reasons. I can't go into that and why and so on, but I'm thinking about it. But I just thought, does it have any worth?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank
you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for pointing out that. So basically, as citizens, so how are we contributing? Because so a government is established because for the well-being of the everybody, well-being of the whole society. So as if I am a taxpayer, so am I properly paying it, isn't it? So I'm contributing towards my taxation. So I'm being taxing because expecting the government to look after many other things. And you may be only looking after your family, but the government is looking at the big picture, and there are a lot of other needs which have to be, the wealth has to be properly distributed. And therefore, they are taxing the rich people maybe. But the rich people, from their point of view, rather than trying to avoid paying taxing or to get rid of it, so if they are contributing, if they are properly on time, they are paying it, then government will be in a proper position to share the wealth and properly delivering their services. Because there are many instances, even in Sri Lanka. So even now, the country is going through some economic crisis, and one reason for economic crisis is that the taxing was not happened properly. So the rich people, whoever the distilleries companies and all these different companies, they didn't pay the tax. They have used the political power and they have avoided paying taxes. So that has made a real impact to the whole country's economy. So therefore, even though we take it that personal level as giving and miserliness, etc., even at the very higher country level, how even a country, if a particular country is rich and they don't want to share with another neighbor, isn't it? Say another neighboring country may be poor. But you, as in a rich country, you have enough thing to do. You may be even wasting your food, wasting your wealth, but not taking care of your neighbor who is really poor. So likewise, we can take it to the international level. So these things are not merely applicable to the very minimal level, but even to the very higher scale level. So that if the rich countries, the first world countries can look at from a more human way, so all are in this world, I mean, all the human beings are here. And the animals are also there. I mean, we have, as human beings, we have to look after the whole earth in a way. Now we are in a way facing the catastrophes because we didn't look at from that angle, isn't it? We are more into the consumerization. We are more into the selfish needs, selfish attitudes, and we simply look after ourselves, ignoring the others. And ultimately, the whole world is in suffering situation. Now, you know, the climate change and all this terrorism and all these things have spread to a very larger scale because we ignored these very basic human principles. So I feel, therefore, Buddha's teaching are even applicable to the very higher scale. So that's another reason, actually. Now, if the government themselves are going to any kind of a corruption, once they collect the money, once they collect the taxes, if they are not properly using it, even distributing it to the proper needs, and instead they take it for themselves, then of course the people are discouraged to pay their taxes. So that side is also there. So therefore, it is every time that we have to look at from different angles, not just one side. As the taxpayers, they have to pay on time and proper amount, the correct amount, without trying to cheat it or fraud it. On the other hand, from the government point of view, they have to collect it and properly distribute it without looking for any kind of selfish means. So both sides have to maintain proper moral standards. Even though we have a lot of complicated systems, ultimately we sometimes come to the human qualities, the moral standards, isn't it? We come to the moral standards. So why people are not paying still can have this kind of reasons, because the government is not properly handling it, properly using it. So then they are discouraged to pay, because what they are paying is ultimately misused. So these kind of things are there. So anyway, the moral standards therefore really matters. And if we have a kind of fair amount of transparency and how the taxpayers are giving it and how their money being used by the government is completely transparent and everyone can question. And then, as you said, we can go with very less corruption. And everything is available and accessible. All the informations are available. So then taxpayers are encouraged. Okay, now you feel, okay, my money being used properly. Okay, they are building this hospital. They are giving for these needy people. So now they are having enough reasons to pay. So likewise, they also have to feel confident that their money being used properly. True, correct. Okay, I think we have spent a fair amount of time today. I cordially invite Venerable Dhammosada to do the sharing.
Asai Swami Nuhanse, our Bodhisattva at the feet of Dipankara Buddha, where the declaration was made for his Buddhahood. And from there, he started cultivating the paramis, among them the parami of generosity, Pattamang Dana Parami. And from there, he started cultivating this renouncing stinginess, renouncing attachment to material things, renouncing attachment to immaterial things. And to this day, we are still receiving this Dhamma. So we should feel very fortunate. May we continue practicing this Dhamma so that we may realize dispassion, the cessation of all sankharas, and the attainment of nibbana. It is a meritorious deed to teach and to listen and to heed the Dhamma, and so we would like to extend these merits to our teachers, our parents, all the devas. May our relatives rejoice in these merits. May all devas rejoice in these merits. And may all celestial beings protect this Dhamma and the Bodhisasana for a long time. And may the seeds of Dhamma that we continuously receive continue growing, developing path, fruition, and eventually Nibbana. Now let us recite the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.